The true knowledge has three characteristics. There is first a growth of light. There is something like what we can call illumination. The least level of experience of illumination is awakening. One is awakened. In the Veda, it was termed as the arrival of Usha, the arrival of dawn. We may have a lot of information, but there is no arrival of Usha in it. There is no awakening. That is the first mark, there is awakening. The whole world then seems to be different, the once you are awake. It is like dreaming and coming to a state of awakening. What is the difference between the two? That's the first mark, is the arrival of the glow of light. There is a shock, and we find the world is not what we thought it to be. It's not the humdrum of existence. There are depths and depths and heights and heights. Even this knowledge, this awakening to heights and depths and widenesses, in fact, all true education begins with the perception of wideness, of depth, and of heights. These three words are very important in all process of education. As you are educating yourself, you must ask always these three questions. How wide have I become? How deep have I become? How high I have become? These are the three measures by which you can judge yourself, evaluate yourself in the true process of knowledge. With the awakening, the deepening, widening, heightening, these three processes begin to occur. When you begin to experience these three things, you are entering into the threshold of knowledge. Even information can give you these three things. When you are informed about many things, you experience to some extent this heightening, widening, and deepening. But when you are truly awakened, you begin to perceive the widenesses. You don't merely see the shadows of widenesses, or of deepening depths, or of the heights. It's like hearing Himalaya is the highest mountain. It is information about Himalayas. And then you go and stand before the Himalayas and really see the glory in the daylight of the snow peaks of the Himalayas. The heights and heights, the rocks piled upon piles. Then you begin to perceive the heights of the Himalayas and become overwhelmed by it. But that is only the beginning. then there is the growth of the being. Information gives you growth of becoming. The true knowledge gives you growth of being. And there's a difference between growth of becoming and growth of being. The more you know through information, the more you can deal with the world externally, which is good by itself. But it is not true knowledge. You grow into the being. What is the difference between becoming and being? Being is the source of becoming. That's the first difference. Being is the source of becoming. In the process of becoming, you fluctuate. It's like the flow of the river. There is a wavy movement. In the process of being, you stabilize yourself. There is an experience of stability. You become sthanu, that is the Sanskrit word, sthanu. You become stable. You become unshakable mountain. An experience of possessing yourself, self-possession. When you possess in your palm something, and when you see a thing outside you, this is the difference between information and knowledge. When your information, you only stand before an object. But in the knowledge, you possess the object of knowledge. There is self-possession. And then there is self-mastery. That is the third stage of true knowledge, self-mastery. In which you find all that is to be known as contained in it. It's not only that you possess in your hands, or only a little thing, but you possess, you contain, not only possess, but you contain within yourself . And the divine teacher is interested in this task, in developing your being. So, as Sri Aurobindo says, as we gain in clarity, and as the turmoil of egoistic effort gives place to a calmer self-knowledge, we recognize the source of the growing light within us. We recognize it retrospectively as we realize how all our obscure and conflicting movements have been determined towards an end that you only now begin to perceive. How even before our entrance into the path of the yoga, the evolution of our life has been designedly led towards its turning point. The This is the experience of all who stand at the threshold of the true knowledge. As you stand at the threshold of yoga and you become awake to the necessity of yoga in your life, you realize how the Divine Himself was leading you towards that path, even without your knowledge, even without your consent. All circumstances of life were determined, as it were, so as to make you aware of the need of yoga. You recognize it retrospectively. You have already trodden the path to some extent, then you look back retrospectively, and then you come to know, oh, this was the meaning of it. As Sri Aurobindo was taken to the Alipur jail, and he asked the question, why am I taken to this jail? He was removed from the field of his work in which he was fully engaged. And he was cut suddenly from all that surrounding, that field of action, and put into a prison where he cannot meet even a single person apart from himself, apart from the sentries. Then, retrospectively, when he began to lead the life in Alipur jail, as he began to contemplate and meditate on the Gita, on the Upanishads, and when he heard the Supreme Lord Himself, Sri Krishna, telling him, there is a big work to be done. You have to tread a path of yoga. And a new path of yoga has to be created for mankind. When he came to learn this, then retrospectively he understood why he was taken to the jail. It is retrospective, it is the Lord Himself, as a master, as a teacher,